talking about punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, great day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. Are you farmers and ranchers out there ready for this week? Because the closer we get, the better the weather predictions are coming out. But tomorrow at noon, live, Lacey Swope will be in and give us firsthand information of what to expect. I don't wish anything bad on anybody, but I hope the ice goes east. It can go east. So anyway, currently right now we have 62 degrees. The wind's out of the southwest at 6 to 10 miles an hour. This is the calm before the storm. But anyway, first of all, the text line is wide open at 225-9697, 580-225-9697. So yesterday, I was having a conversation with one of my best friends ever. He's quite a bit older than me, and he's maybe a little senile. He's been to Vietnam and Desert Storm. Might have got some nerve agent over there in Desert Storm. Not sure. But I was picking him apart on when you should prepare your cattle for the storm, especially a winter storm. Anyways, nothing changes around my operation. They're going to get fed every day. So I started talking to him about what if his tractor gets stuck or won't start? What if his pickup loses its engine? How's he going to feed his cows if he didn't put extra hay out in the pasture? He told me not to worry about it. He had it handled. So my question for you guys today on the text line is, do you feed quite a bit of hay out into your pasture for your cattle the couple of days or the day before the storm hits in case something happens? Or do you just go about normal business every other day you're feeding or what you're doing? So text it in. I want to hear your opinion. We'll get to it a second set. I got some professional cattle people in here with me today, so they might help me answer some of these questions. But my buddy, I think he got mad enough he was ready to hang up on me yesterday because I was on him like, what happens if you do this? What happens if you do this? What if you get COVID? What if you have a heart attack and you're in the hospital and your wife can't feed? I mean, I was giving him every bad scenario that can happen, and he still told me just to shut up, mind my own business. He'd take care of his cattle his way, and I'd take care of my cattle my way. So let me know. Live cattle are up. February 139.85, April 144.65, June 139.35. Feeder cattle are steady. 162.50 for March. April's 167.85. Lean hogs are up. February 88.10. April 95.75. May 100.05. Tomorrow, the Woodward Livestock Auction will be happening up there with the regular cow and bull sale. Today, Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction is going on over there on I-40 east of Clinton. And so far, Hobart Stockyards are having theirs Wednesday, but weather could predict that. So before you go down there, make sure and call Rex and make sure everything's still a go. Cash grain prices are all over the board. Hard red winter wheat is down at 756. Corn steady at 629. Milo 627. Soybeans hanging in there with the $14 range at 1416. Cotton 127. Oats are up at 703. So we are under a winter storm watch. So be prepared. Don't wait till tomorrow or tomorrow night. Get ready. I started preparing Saturday this morning. Oh yeah, congratulates me. I'm a new daddy today. I got a baby calf on the ground out of my heifers here west of Elk City. He is well. He's a talker. he's the mama is a heifer. She's not protective of him yet, but she's proud of him. And there's another one trying to have one now. So as soon as the show's over, you know where I'm going to do that. But I only got 33 to go, and you know what the weather's going to do. So my wife's already packed me a sleeping bag and a lunch sack lunch. So she knows where I'll be the next 3 days, sleeping in the truck. So I'm very fond of my cattle, and I try to do the best for them. So anyway, when we get back, I have Jim and Debbie Davis in the house with me today. Angus Cattle Company. Angus, Davis Angus, right? Man, that kind of rhymes. Davis Angus.
Oh, yeah.
So anyway, Jim and Debbie's in here. We're going to be talking about Angus Cattle. We're going to be talking about their sale. We're going to be talking about them. And Jim's already told me he has a opinion on my bull comment I made the other day, and that's what I want. So you guys hang tight. We'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle shooter hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisai, Oklahoma.
My background is in AI service. If you're doing that, you're more progressive. You're not going to the sale barn and buying a bull for the cheapest you can get. You're searching for better genetics. You're searching for a better quality product. Just like, do you go down to the used car store and buy the car with all the dents and dings, or do you want the new car? We decided we'd start building our own pretty vehicles rather than going paying the price for the pretty vehicle. B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com. You can find us on Facebook by searching B&L Red Angus.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyard's weekly cattle sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Hey, welcome back. Let me refresh this real quick. I was too busy talking to Jim. They're still the same. 62 degrees. Winds are out of south at 6 miles an hour. And welcome to the show, Mr. and Mrs. Jim Davis. Thanks a lot for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you. We're excited.
I'm so glad you're here because Jim was like, oh, she can't come. She's babysitting. And she walks around the corner, and I was like, yeah.
Yeah, she's the one that takes care of the records. If we haven't got a weight on a bull or something, cow, whatever, she sends me back out there to go get it. Blood samples. She's the world's worst about blood samples.
You've got
to go get blood samples on this calf right now.
She's on top of it. But you know what? Record keeping is a must. First, especially
at the level
you guys are at. Like me, I have these two tally books in my truck that I carry with me when I have a calf. Just like this morning, it was born this, and I just guessed the weight on it because it was a small calf. But, you know, I got it wrote down there. If I ever lost my tally book, I would just – it'd be bad deal. So, because I got 5 years cattle record in that book.
I always say, if we have a fire, forget the jewelry. I'm going to get my heart dry.
So when did you guys start Davis Cattle Company?
This makes, I think, 49 years that we've had registered Angus cattle wandering around Burns Flat area. I sold my first bulls I think, in 1976, made a real deal on him. A guy arranged a sale to a dentist in Hobart on four or five bulls that we had, and I sold those to him. Well, the weather got bad, and it took us a while to get them down there, and when we loaded them up, I took them down and got them $1,000 a piece for the bulls that I sold him.
That's pretty good. 1970 what?
Six. Cattle market was good back then. Took the steers to town back when Ronnie Reynolds was running the Clinton Sale Barn, and they bring, I think, $1,100. So I sold the bulls at a $100 discount to what steers were worth. And wow. From there on, it's just status quo. That's about what we do.
Well, I know I met you in 1983 when I went to work for Dub Pitzer after the oil boom went kaboom, and I started helping Keith and Dub over at Foss, and that's when I met you. And because you were their neighbor to the south of all that land we had over there with Rodolph and all that, so I remember that. And then I hear stories about you from Tracy Braddock. But you know what? I got good stories on him too. So you basically were 5 or 6 years into it when I first met you.
Yes, we actually really got into the AI deal. Branson came over and built us some lots and the framework on a barn, and we put a barn up and started AI and cattle in 1995.
And we got out of the cotton business, and he had to have something to do.
So do you miss the cotton business?
No.
Even at today's prices?
Even
yes.
That's awesome.
But we've upped it to another level. We take DNA samples. We're talking about getting the blood. That's where the DNA samples come from. We weigh those poor cows I don't know how many times.
Birth, weaning, yearling, and then when we do four times ultrasounds.
Yeah, we know who's in charge of the weight schedule, don't we?
Yes. And today we're freeze branding them as we speak. We've got a guy over there that helps us, Matt Myers. He's over there freeze branding the bulls. We've never had a bull lose a freeze brand. If you got tags in their ears, you never know.
No, you don't.
When two of them lose them, you're in trouble.
Right.
If you just got one that lost them, it's not bad.
Yeah.
But if you lose two, you kind of lose track. We do that for convenience for customers.
Right.
And on our cows, when you go out there and you got to tag the babies when they're born, and we do the Sam Dyer, sire and dam on every tag, plus I get a number. And it sure helps when there's big white letters on their butt.
Oh, that yeah.
Says, I'm old B17.
Yeah. Well, I got, when I bought those cows out of Iowa that K-Bar hooked me up with, they're commercial Angus, but most of them had freeze brands on them, and I still have them today. It's so nice. I don't even look at their tag. You know, their tag, of course, I got them tagged, and they've never lost them, but it's sure as heck, if I didn't have those freeze brands, it wouldn't do. When was you guys' first major sale? Remember?
No.
This is why I got Jim on here today, because he knows nothing.
I think the first auction sale we had is in the neighborhood of 20, 22 years ago.
Right.
With we got our first one with Ben Branson and some other folks. And then we did that 2 or 3 years, and then Switzer and I got together, Mike Switzer up at Quartermaster Creek, and had our own sale and just the two of us, and that was quite an experience. That was something akin to giving birth to a child, giving birth to bull soil.
Yeah.
There's more to it than what it appears to be, but we got along fine. We did that for about 8 years, and then we split our sale. Mike took his home. I think it's last Wednesday in February, and ours is the first Saturday in March.
March, yep.
And we spend a lot of time talking to each other and comparing notes and one thing and another, and have a lot of respect for one another. But our bull sale is we're a little different from most folks. Mom and pop deals, big money deals. There's all kinds of these sales around. Back, I think it was in 18 years ago, something like that.
Oh, I was hoping you didn't say 1890-something.
That was too serious.
Keep me honest, Jimmy. We loaded up some cattle and sent them. I've always been intrigued by the carcass traits. I like a good steak. I don't like tough steaks.
Right.
And we loaded up 3 steers on a truck at 3 o'clock in the morning, got nothing but a little piece of paper from the truck driver, and he drove off at 3 o'clock in the morning at the Burns Flat Co-op parking lot. And I questioned after he drove off if I was ever going to hear anything else about those. But what we did is I had those cattle in my mind. I knew which ones were worth more money. And they fed them in the feed yard, and then I got the information back. It was totally upside down to what I thought it was. The calf that I thought was the sorriest one, in the end, brings $150 more than the one I thought was the best one. You can't tell by looking at them.
Right.
And that's where Debbie comes in. I mean, she's got records on ultrasounding. We have a guy that comes out and ultrasounds them, and that tells you how big the ribeye is, how much marbling they got, and this, that, and the other. And Debbie's got those records that go back, I don't know, 10, 12 years, something
probably
like that. And you can't tell by looking at them that they're going to make a good steak or not. And as we get more people buying or feeding these cattle and selling them locally, that's a great deal for us in that the local guy can take advantage of all the genetic work that we've done the past 20 years and get those cattle that will marble and will bring some money. Or if you're just a guy that takes them to town, Tubby Deal may know more about those cattle, your cattle, than you do.
Right.
There's the Certified Angus Beef Program provides $1.7 million a week of premiums paid by the packers for cattle that go through and get accepted for the CAB program. That's not counting the primes nor the program choices below the CAB, but there's money out there for the cattle that taste good.
Right.
And you might want to talk about how we even got started feeding cat. That's kind of a story.
How about what if you guys are just joining? I have Jim and Debbie Davis of Davis Angus Cattle Company over there. You go by Burns Flat Foss or whatever. You're in that Bermuda Triangle over there.
Yes, yes.
And I call. Yeah. So anyway, they're northeast of Burns Flat. How's that? And anyway, we're talking. Jim and Debbie raise Angus cattle, and Jordan, they raise Angus cattle. And my question you just brought up. He was talking about the Angus Cattle Association, the Certified Angus Board and all that. Why did you start with Angus? Why Angus? It just happened.
The way we got started in the deal, my dad was always buying and selling cattle, and he found some cattle in Stillwater when I was going to school over there in 1973, I believe it was. Albert Rutledge had some cows for sale, and my dad had me go over and look at them. They look like cows. I called Dad. Said they look like cows. I said, okay, bye. they were registered Angus cattle, and that was the beginning of the registered Angus. At that time, he had Simmental crosses, some Charolais crosses, one thing and another, and we've just lived with the Angus breed because that's what we had, and that's what we started with. The cattle have very good docility. The cattle that we sell, you can walk out there and pet most of the bulls. That's very important as the herdsmen age. They don't want to go out there and dodge a bull running by them.
Right.
And the Angus cattle are very docile. They've always been known for their eating quality. The quality of the Angus beef has never been questioned. It's always been the premier thing. But the people from the CAB program, they talk to chefs. They work at selling the stuff.
Right, they do. And they do a very good job. They work hard at it. They do a good job because you go in most any restaurant. I've worked all over the United States. And my favorite story here, and I've said it once on the show, and we'll tell it again, is my friend up there at Fruitland, Idaho, we went into a restaurant, and him and his wife and me went in there, and I was reading the menu, and certified Angus beef. So when she came back, my trick question was, is this black Angus or red Angus? I got the deer in the headlight look. And then she said, I'll go ask. I said, no, please don't. So anyway, I've noticed red Angus is making, is coming up. Its level's coming up.
They're working on allowing the red Angus cattle to be accepted into the certified Angus beef program.
Right.
I don't know. They're pretty close to getting that done. I know if you know the right people in the past, they would let the red cattle in.
Right.
But you had to know somebody in the business that
to get it done.
Did that. But
they'll have to change the qualifications from predominantly black-hided.
Yeah, that rules out.
Yeah, that's going to have to go if they do that.
That rules out, but they, Black Angus is, I got a lot of Black Angus, but I also got a lot of Angus Simmental crosses because I love my Simmentals. You seen my picture a while ago. Yeah, it's kind of got a little Simmental in her, but you talk about good-natured cattle. The people raising them also has a major factor on that role. When I bought these 35 heifers from Mrs. Hamburger over there at south of Weatherford, I brought them home. We brought them home, two trailer loads, brought them home. I let them out, and within an hour, they were around me. They're not wild. There's not one wild one in the bunch. And it's so nice to have a set of cows that have been handled and they're not crazy on you. And that doesn't mean one ain't going to go crazy on you. You get one cornered up, the survival mode goes in, like the one that I got injured on a couple of weeks ago. But the Black Angus and the Simmental crosses I love because they're good-natured.
They're good-natured and they grow. I think the biggest factor on making money in the cattle business is we sell them by the pound.
Right.
Irregardless of, what you raise, whether you take them sale barn, whether you take them all the way through the feedlot
right.
and sell them hanging upside down on the rail, which we do some of that. One of the telling you about selling bulls start out with, tell you a story about selling bred heifers. We sold 10 or 20 bred heifers here in September, October, something like that. The cattle that we fed in the feed yard came out of the feed yard between Thanksgiving and Christmas for the big prime rib run. Tom Fanning,
Buffalo Feeders.
Oh, okay.
Feeds those and targets them for that Christmas prime rib
run
sale.
Yep.
We sold those heifers, however many there was of them, for $2,000 a piece. One of the heifers that we fed that we thought was not good enough to breed sold for $2,920 in the meat. She weighed
That's better than a bred heifer.
Yes, very much. And so,
a lot less trouble.
We do feed. We wanted to feed to let our customers know that what we raise, we believe in. And we started feeding cattle in, how many years have we fed with Tom? I was trying to think of.
Since the last time corn was $6.
Okay.
I told Debbie, she was selling these cattle to all her buddies back when it wasn't cool to do that.
Right.
And we weren't making any money on it. And I was working my tail off feeding 15 head of calves that I really didn't want to mess with. And I came home and corn had gone to $6. And I said, the only way we're feeding these cattle, if you can find a feed yard to do it. 15 of them. I said, you find a feed yard to take them, I'll load them up and take them up there. Knowing she couldn't do it. No one wants 15 head calves. I got home for lunch and she said, we're going to Buffalo.
And loaded up 15 head to ride with you, didn't you?
Uh-huh. And those cattle, and not, you know, we'd done the ultrasound stuff and done some of the preliminary work, but we didn't know what they would do. And as fate would have it, those calves fed, I think, $100 cheaper than the average calf in the feed yard. And sold for $100 premium on the CAB deal. And the average calf coming out of the feed yard was losing $100, and ours made
$100.
And that's one of the things we were interested in. Bert feeds her bulls and gets the grow safe information, the feed efficiency deal.
Right. The data.
If there's anything to be known about the cattle, she wants to know it.
Oh, well. Go ahead.
We just, I guess the University of Georgia contacted us a couple of years ago. One of our bulls, which we fed at Midland, they were doing tests on feed efficiency and carcass data, and he came up in the system. So we sent 40 units of semen the first year and then 40 the second year on 145. And so this year, Cali Retallick contacted us, and since we have sent in the data on it, they're going to come out and take samples of the bugs in the cattle's rumens to see what our why our cattle are more feed efficient than probably the average person. So that's going to...
Because you're good.
That's an interesting concept that they have determined that the cattle at Marble Well are not as feed efficient as the cattle at Dump.
Really?
And that's the theory they're working on. And I assume they have some information to justify their thoughts.
Well, save your thought right now and let me take a break. And when we come back, we'll continue that thought and we're going to talk about bulls. I know you're wanting to talk about it. You're just joining in. Jim and Debbie Davis are in the studio with me, and they have Davis Angus and Jordan. Is Jordan home or is she gone? She's leaving tomorrow because you guys got the kids tomorrow, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so going to NCBA tomorrow.
Yeah, so anyway, we'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, January 21st. 597 head were sold. 8 head of steers at 329 brought 216. 4 at 470 brought 204. 8 at 547 brought 180. 13 at 654 brought 153.50. 14 at 681 brought 145. 4 head of heifers at 475 brought 142. 3 at 533 brought 155. 15 at 555 brought 147. 3 at 613 brought 133. 46 at 726 brought 142. Butcher cows were 34 to 83. Butcher bulls 82 to 91. Bred cows 650 to 1160. Pairs brought 1125 to 1350. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. to consign. Call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
Mind Money Tracker is a function on our mobile banking app. We started with a template, but it really was in the hands of First National to customize the app to be what it wants to be. As more things come out, as reality changes, as the world changes, the app will constantly be updated with new functionalities so that budgeting can still be made easy and can still be right at your fingertips, because that's our goal at First National, is to give you access to your money at all times.
I'm Kelsey Werner, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City.
Member FDIC.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Welcome back. Jim and Debbie Davis from Davis Angus are in the studio with me. But before we get back to chit-chatting with them, I've got a lot of texts in on what to do. Evening before, fill the hay rings up. But put plenty of hay in the barn so the wrap isn't frozen to the bale. Yeah, that's a good point. Eddie Hargis, let's see, what's he say? Day before, put out a couple of extra bales. There you go. And unroll the hay the day of in a sheltered part of the pasture to give cows extra hay, especially if calves are on the ground for bedding. There you go. Anyway, we'll get back to our conversation here. Looks like we're going to take up the hill hour. I kind of figured that was coming anyway, but I got to do the Long Ranger, Jim, so you and I are going to have to shut up here in a little bit so I can do the Long Ranger. But when you first came in, you were talking to – I did that deal on the bulls the other day, and it wasn't controversial, but it was – there was difference of opinions going on. So what's your opinion in finding that bull?
There's a lot of different – qualities that people look for in the cattle they're raising, and knowing what those qualities are is important to the guy that has them. Like, you like the little stocking feet, that's great.
You're right,
that's great. And I'll guarantee you, every guy that's got a bull sale or wanting to sell a bull will answer his phone this time of year. Call the people, talk to them, ask them what their program is, and see if it meshes with what you want to do.
Right.
And if you find someone that has done the things that you want to do or facilitate you doing what you do, you're buying a program. You're not buying a bull. And the bull buying deal is a people-to-people business. If you can't trust the people you're dealing with, find somebody else.
Right.
Find somebody else. And if you call a guy and want to buy a bull, one thing you don't say is, my cows are not very good, and I don't need a very good bull. I don't want to spend a lot of money on one.
Go to sale barn.
I just don't need a good bull. But which is totally upside down. If your cows are friendly and you like them, but they're not doing a very good job, they might work harder if you bought them a prettier bull.
Yeah, handsome guy out there in the pasture with them, they might start eating better and start doing the makeup. The whole look a little better for the bull.
Yeah. You don't take your girlfriend to the J. jewelry store to buy her an engagement ring and say, you know, my girlfriend's a little plain and ugly here. So we don't need a very, very nice ring. Whatever your program is, talk to the people that are selling the bulls. Talk to them, text them, whatever. I guess say this time of year, the guys selling bulls will answer their phone. I'm the world's worst about losing my phone occasionally.
Right.
For long periods of time. But this time of year, it's not very far away from me. And well, I will answer your call.
And you got her, and you got Jordan. So how is it having Jordan involved with the family deal? Come on, Mom. I want to hear it.
Well, we each have our strengths. Like I said, I like doing data. I think that
you like numbers.
Yeah, I think that's kind of weird, but I like that because I want to know what my cows are doing. And you can go back and look at maybe five generations of this cow family, and you know why those cows produce the better quality calves. And so I like that part. Jordan's much more social, and she likes the Facebook part of it. She likes that. But I do the advertising.
She's a promoter.
She's a promoter, and she does have her Grandpa Bud's. You know, she likes that part of it. And right now, her little boy is starting to show cattle, so she's very much into the show cattle. She likes that real big, which she grew up. I mean, we went everywhere when she was little. We went to Milwaukee. We went to Louisville. We went to Denver. Jim, I thought, he hated me. I went out to Reno. He sent me with two college boys. And
so Jim's over here blushing, and something bad must have happened. Man, we won't go into that one.
No, that's not a real good topic. But Jordan does have one of the bulls that we're selling, the JO8 bull. She's featuring him on Facebook. We had a little competition on Facebook.
It was going on in here because I read that right before the show, so I got on here, and I said, hey, there's been a disturbance in the force over there in Washita County, and Jordan and Jim are having issues with these bulls, and I looked, and there was like 30 comments and so many likes on there, and when the show was over, about an hour later, there was like 230 comments, and I called it the disturbance in the force.
Her bull won, by the way.
Yeah, I might have thrown a little deal in there for her.
But she's very good at that. She's very good at talking to people. And she's good about text messaging and all of that stuff. And if you're here, I'll promo the bull sale a little bit here. If you want to look at a sale catalog, they will be mailed this week. And you can text Jordan at 580-383-7172 or go to our website, davisangus.com, and hit the Contact Us button. And if you give us your address, we'll send you a catalog.
And that thing's coming up March 5th.
Yes, it's coming. It sounds like, oh, you've got a month, but you're going, okay, you got to get the food ordered. You got to make sure everybody's on board for that. And donuts, we can't live without donuts and coffee, you know, the day of the sale. And make sure you've got your help lined out. And we're going to do it in a tent again this year. That worked out really well. DV Auctions will be doing it live for us. Greg Griffiths, which is one of the nicest people, will be auctioneering for us. And we have some really good help. The Newberry Boys, we couldn't do it without it. Couldn't do it without Carol over at the Chuck Box. So it takes a lot of people to course, Matt Myers, I thank God every day that he came into our life. And
is this auction, is it live too?
Yes, yeah. It'll be live.
Yep.
And then Canon Lyles helps us. And so it just takes a lot of people. Of course, Nakona, I won't forget Nakona. And Denton, our grandson, I mean, he's getting big enough that he helps us some. So we it just takes a lot of people. And we're so thankful that we do have that network of people that come in and help us put it together. And because Jim and I probably would be divorced if we just us two had to do it. I mean, we were
when
not.
When he started turning red there a while ago, I thought, uh-oh. Might have brought up something. Well, you guys, hang with me. Let me take a break real quick. Come back and do the Long Ranger, and we'll finish up because we ain't hit on them bulls yet. Totally. So anyway, I'll be right back after this. I got Jim and Debbie Davis in here from Davis Angus over at Burns Flat, and we'll be right back. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
From sunup till sundown, we know your irrigation equipment needs to be as hardworking as you, because we all know a farmer's job is never done. Valley is your strength in the field. We're the everyman brand. No matter your operational setup, we have the irrigation equipment and technology to move you forward. Valley products are built to last, easy to operate, and ahead of the curve. Durable, reliable, and built tough. This is Valley.
Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at knutsonirrigation.com.
Great news, folks. Ron Hayes here to let you know SEI Agritech in Elk City is now your livestock nutrition center dealer. This is better quality feed and minerals for your cattle, horses, sheep, and goats. Plus, at SEI Agritech, you can buy everything from bulk to 50-pound bags. Call or go see SEI Agritech today about your feed and mineral needs. Their number, 580-225-0317. 580-225-0317. Better feed, better results.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. For sale last Tuesday, January the 25th, we sold 544 cows, bulls, and kids. Thursday, January 27th, we sold 4,050 kids and feeders for a total of 4,594 cattle for the week. Slaughter cows and bulls, 6 to 8 higher, I'd say, spot 10 to 12 higher. Tuesday, better killing cows, 70 up to 87. Thin cows bring 55 to 70, 50. Bulls bring 70 up to 102, 50. Two-day year-old-bred cows, 900 up to 1,200, with our 9 and older bred cows, 925. Five-day year-old pairs, 1,250, 1,325. Steer cattle, 3 to 350 steers, 206 to 245. 4 to 450, 207 to 226. 5 to 550, 193 to 209. 6 to 650, 164 to 180.50. 7 to 750, 148 to 164. 8 to 850, 145, 50 to 155 and a quarter. 9 to 950, 140 to 153. And 24 steers weighing 1069 bring 135. Under heifers, 6 heifers weighing 285 bring 189. 3 to 350, 170 to 183. 4 to 450, 162 to 173. 5 to 550, 153 to 170. 6 to 650, 148 to 155 and a half. 7 to 750, 136 to 148. 8 to 850, 135 to 143. And our 9 to 950 heifers, 132 to 135. Very good market. We have 14 feeder buyers every week. Lots of farmers and ranchers buying kids too. We work 100% for the seller. Never lying to the buyer. I put a price on the cattle. We move forward. Very good market. Sending lots of our cattle north. For this Tuesday, February the 2nd, we will have 35 bred cows. We've got 25 other bred cows and pairs. More by sale time. We'll see you this Tuesday, 8 a.m. sharp. Thanksgiving Jerry 9 and the Woodford Livestock Auction.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden. Complete nutrition for every animal, that's what you'll find in Hi-Pro Feeds. At Hi-Pro, their commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the most out of every animal. Hobart Farm and Garden in Hobart, Oklahoma is your local Hi-Pro Feeds dealer. Providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks, see their ad in the Penny News and check them out on Facebook. See all they have to offer at HobartFarmAndGarden.com. That's HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
He loves to talk about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
All right, welcome back. And our Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. No bueno. It's just, today's beautiful, high 69. We're currently at 65. The winds are starting to creep up a little bit out of the south at 10, gusting up to 15. Tonight, partly cloudy. Tomorrow, a slight chance of rain in the afternoon. High tomorrow, 52. Winds out of the north, 10 to 15 miles an hour. Tomorrow night, here she comes. 50% chance of wintry mix. Temperatures drop down to 24. The winds are going to be out of the northeast. And if you guys pay attention to the weather, when the winds are out of the northeast, it's cold. It's got that moisture in there and it's cold. So it doesn't look very good tomorrow night. Wednesday, no better. 80% chance of snow, 28 for a high. Wednesday night, 80% chance of snow, 7 degrees for low. Thursday, high 17. It ain't getting any better, guys. Thursday night, low 4. So get the firewood stacked up. Get the stew made in case the electricity goes out. And hopefully it doesn't. But we'll find out more from Lacey tomorrow on where the ice is going to be at. Hopefully we miss that. Sleet I can handle. It's still bad roads. But ice, I don't like ice. Well, I got Debbie and Jim Davis. See, I did that backwards now. So now you're more important, Debbie. Debbie and Jim Davis from Davis Angus are in here. We're just going to take up the whole hour. I'm sorry. But anyway, it's fun talking to fellow cattlemen and women. And so here's the question for you. What is the definition of certified Angus, and how much black do you have to be for that?
Okay, I should know this because I do the CAB cook-off. I've done it for, since Jordan was 12, and it's just hard to give up old habits. It has to be predominantly black-hided, cannot have more than 2-inch hump. Gosh, there's 10 qualities, and I just went blank.
Less than... A maturity.
The ribeye, a 15-inch ribeye.
Less than 15.
That's just right. 15. That's just right, isn't it?
15. And the reason is it has to fit on a plate, and it's gotten as people are. One of the things in the restaurant business, people are having a really hard time finding help, and so if the meat is consistent. There are people that cook can get it right. If one's a 16-inch ribeye and one's, let's say you have an 18-inch, it's timed on how long you cook that.
It, right.
So it has to, and it has to fit on a plate. And so that's the reason, and the consistency is so important in the meat. Is because of the restaurants and finding people that can cook.
And do it right.
Because if you go to, I like to think of us as selling to the white tablecloth crowd.
Right.
I mean, if you're going to go out and do a business deal, oh, heck, let's go have a fish patty. And I'm not knocking fish. But
you're just comparing.
Uh-huh. You don't do that. They go and my brother, whenever he's a president of Texas A, I mean, they go make a business deal and they go eat steak at a steakhouse and they all sit around and you eat and you enjoy the meal and you have a good eating experience and you celebrate. That's a celebration.
Right.
And so that food is very important. And so the quality of the CAB steak is very the ribeye or the prime rib, whatever you're going to eat, and is very important in our culture. And I drug Jim to every junior national. We just came back from Great Nebraska, Grand Island. We went up there to cook a tri-tip, and so we don't. I call it a California brisket because we don't have tri-tips that much in Oklahoma.
Question for you.
Yes.
Is it a Kansas City strip or a New York strip?
mostly they, It's Burns Flat, but we do a Burns Flat strip. If you want to, and I can cook a mean steak. You know, we do go out and eat steak, and I mean that's what I like to eat. But I can cook a mean steak. But it's
Jim's actually agreeing with you on this one. Well, hey, we got about 3 minutes left, and I got a question for you. Okay. How do you pick a bull?
Well, we have a lot of people come around, and they have a lot of different methods of picking bulls. We have one customer. There's probably more than one, but there's one in particular that comes to mind right now. He's got to be able to touch the bull.
Okay.
That is his greatest requirement, is being able to touch the bull. One of the things that are very important is being able to qualify your cattle for those good meat programs, whether you're selling off the farm or not. One of the qualifications Debbie missed on the CAB is it's got to have 5.5% IMF.
Okay.
And that's the marbling. And
right. A little white fleck you see in the meat.
It's got to be over 5.5%. The marbling is something that we've focused on for the last 20 years since I loaded his steers on that truck at 3 o'clock in the morning wondering why I did that.
And you learned something.
Yes, yes. And you learn that you cannot tell what's under that hide by looking at it.
Right.
The structural correctness and all of that stuff, If you're buying bulls from the people that sell bulls around here, that have bull sales, that should not be a concern to you. Because if you have problems and you're buying bulls from a reputable dealer and paying enough money for them,
right,
they will take care of your problems.
Good.
That is one of the things that we do, is take care of the problems. I'm a sucker for a pretty bull. I
could tell by the Facebook page there a couple of weeks ago, you had the pretty one and Jordan had the quality one.
And when we started out, that's one of the things you heard. Oh, those carcass bred cattle are ugly.
Right.
And our motto is carcass and confirmation without compromise. I was not willing to compromise the carcass trades nor the look.
I got you.
And find a bull that you like and you can talk to. That's important to
begin
in. And, you know, that Mabel would like. Your gal Mabel.
Well, guys, Jim and Debbie, thank you so much. You hear that music? That's time for me, you, and her all free to shut up. But anyway, thank you so much for coming in. And be safe out there this week.
That's right. That's right.
You guys... It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO. See you tomorrow. Lacey Swope will be on. God bless.
This is KECO, Elk City.